Let's pray. Lord, we come in thankfulness for your word, your mercy, and your grace. We pray that you would bless this word, you would bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Imagine your neighbor spoke ill of your name, or even worse, imagine one of your neighbors spoke. No, imagine, or even worse, imagine one of your brothers or sisters in the church went out of their way to make false claims about you. Not just others in the church, but to the whole church, how would you react? Would you want to clear your name? Another example is for the parents. Imagine your kids are over at another family's house. And then, what if your own children made claims and behave in such a way that they may question your reputation as a parent and provider? We are so eager to vindicate our name. What about when God's name is defiled? Does that bother you more than when your name is defiled? Or do we think too highly of ourselves? Today we will learn that God restores his idolatrous people, the very same people that have profaned his name. He restores them, not because of who they are, but because his name is at stake. So our text for tonight is Ezekiel 36:23. I'll be reading the chapter from the beginning just to get some context, and then I'll start at verse 23. So I'll start at verse 1. And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy said of you, Aha! And the ancient heights have become our possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, precisely because they made you desolate and crushed you from all sides, so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations, and you became the talk and evil gossip of the people. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains and the hills, the ravines and the valleys, the desolate wastes and the deserted cities, which have become a prey and derision to the rest of the nations all around. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I've spoken in my hot jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, who gave my land to themselves as a possession with whole heart of joy and utter contempt, that they might make it pasture lands a prey. Therefore, prophesy concerning the land of Israel and say to the mountains and hills, to the ravines and valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy wrath, in my jealous wrath, because you have suffered the reproach of the nations. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I swear that the nations that are all around you shall themselves suffer reproach. But you, O mountains of Israel, shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they will soon come home. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sowed. And I will multiply on you the whole house of Israel, all of it. The cities shall be inhabited and the waste places rebuilt. And I will multiply on you man and beast, and they shall multiply and be fruitful. And I will cause you to be inhabited as in your former times. And I will do more good to you than ever before, then you will know that I am the Lord. I will let people walk on you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess you, and you shall be their inheritance. And you shall no longer bereave them of children. Thus says the Lord God, because they say to you, you devour people, and you bereave your nations of children. Therefore you shall no longer devour people, and no longer bereave your nation of children, declares the Lord God. And I will not let you hear any more the reproach of the nations, and you shall no longer bear the disgrace of the peoples and no longer cause your nation to stumble, declares the Lord God. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, when the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me were like the uncleanliness of a woman in her menstrual impurity. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land. For the idols with which they had defiled it, I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. In accordance with their ways and their deeds, I judged them. But when they came to the nations, wherever they came, they profaned my holy name, in that people said of them, "These are the people of the Lord," and yet they had to go out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. Therefore say to the house of Israel, "Thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes." So finally, to the first point. So this would be the bigger of the 2 points that I have. It is God who vindicates his holy name. So if we look at the text that I just read, specifically verse 23, we see that it is God who vindicates his great name. But before we go any further, what does it even mean to vindicate? Webster Dictionary defines it as to free from allegation or blame. He initiates and completes the restoration of his great name. God is eager to vindicate his name because it is holy. Unlike our names that may be shared with thousands of other people around the world, the name of God is unique. His name is not shared with others, but it is his alone. Every year, a couple of websites publish articles on the top 100 baby names of the year. These lists are not the same every year. The names rise and fall in popularity, but God's name is timeless and immutable. It doesn't come and go or change every year. His name is holy and should be honored. The Lord gave the third commandment, and he expects it to be upheld, especially his people. Pastor Paul recently had a sermon on the third commandment. There's so much packed in this sermon, and I would highly recommend it. I'll quote the Westminster Shorter Catechism on the third commandment for the sake of brevity. So question 54 of the Shorter Catechism states, "What is the requirement in the third commandment?" The answer, "The third commandment requireth the holy and reverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word, and works." Now the question arises, why does he even have to vindicate his holy name? Well, we are told that it has been profaned among the nations, and even his own people profaned his name. Now, in order to get more context, it would be helpful to go a few verses back and get some background. I will quickly go through verses 16 and 22 in order to establish the context of our verse. In verse 17, we are told that Israel defiled their land by their ways and their deeds. Their ways are described as like the uncleanliness of a woman in her menstrual impurity. This is a figure for idolatry. They defiled the land that God had given them by their idolatrous deeds. In verse 18, we are told that God poured out his wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land and for the idols which they had defiled it. Now in verse 19, we see that the judgment of God found suitable for their deeds was to scatter them among the nations. In verse 20, we see a turn of events. While the people of God came to the nations to which they were scattered, the name of God was being defiled. And that the people from the other nations were astonished as, how could the people of God deserve such a fate? They took lightly who God is and questioned his goodness. Now in verse 21, God was concerned, not on how his people were affected by his judgment, but rather how his name was being defiled among the nations. In verse 22, we are explicitly told, "It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came." Now that we have some context, we can see why God is so eager to vindicate his holy name among the nations. God was in the right to judge his people for their idolatry, yet the nations were too preoccupied with how Israel was judged and not why they were judged. They questioned both God's goodness to protect and provide for his people and his righteousness to judge and admonish his people for their sin. And just as we heard in today's sermon in Romans 2:24, for as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. The Apostle Paul quotes Isaiah 52:5, and this was not the first time when the very people of God were the cause of the name of God to be blasphemed. This is a recurring event in the Old Testament. The very people of God, the people God had chose from the foundation of the world, were to be the very ones who caused his name to be blasphemed. And unfortunately, this still happens today. Now to our second point, just pretty short, the name of God vindicated. How will God vindicate his name? God is going to vindicate his name, not through Israel's suffering, but through the restoration. His restoration is not the nations don't believe I am the Lord, so here is, you'll come back to the land I gave you and just forget all about your idolatry, but rather a cleansing of sin and the gift of a new heart. The way that God vindicates his name is by the promise and establishment of the new covenant. By this act, the nations will know that he is the Lord. His act of salvation is not because we deserve it, but rather because his name is being questioned. And on to some applications, or more specifically, just one application. Honor the name of God. It's simple, yet something we need to hear constantly. Let's not think too highly of ourselves and forget that we are but clay and he is the potter. Let us be more eager to honor God's name than our own name. If we are truly his servants, then our name should be of no value compared to his. And I'll end it with Psalm 29, verse 2. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Let's pray. Lord, we come in thankfulness for your grace. We pray that we would honor your name, but that we would not defile it, that we would not be the cause of it being defiled. We pray that you would give us a sense for the third commandment in our heart. We pray that we would honor it, and that we would glorify your name in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.